can dispense with parking lots and go to Proverbs. Okay, so he who walks with the wise. And I guess we're going to be doing some, why don't you turn to Proverbs 1? That's the first place that we're going to be, and I'm going to have you be looking at texts and looking for certain things. And so I don't think I put everything on the screen. There's just too many verses to put on the screen. So let's go to Proverbs 1. All right, so he who walks with the wise. Proverbs 13:20 is my first reference, and I will put this one on the screen. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I'm talking here about associations, of influencers, of people that you hang out with. All right, and so actually there's two key words in this passage. We have a parallel construction. He who walks with wise men is one, the idea of walking. That's one key word. And then the word companion is another key word. So I'm going to give you some understanding of these words. Now, they're parallel construction. Somebody who walks with wise men, that's one side. The companion of fools, that's another side. But there is quite an interesting contrast in these words. Okay, so the one who walks, the implications of that word is discipleship. The companion, it's one who hangs out. All right, he hangs out with fools. It's the kid down at the corner up to no good. They're all hanging out. You know what that's like? You've seen them in the store. There's certain stores, maybe a 7-Eleven or maybe a convenience store of some kind, and they're just hanging out. Okay? They're companions. But they're not walking with anybody. They're not getting anything from anybody. That's the idea. So the walk with implies, this is a quote from Charles Bridges, being under the instruction, encouragement, and example of the wise person, somebody who's walking with a wise man. It's like the disciple-discipler relationship. Now, so the companion at this corner store. So I have a few verses I'm going to put on the screen. These all use this word companion. Proverbs 28:7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. So he's hanging out with gluttons. A man who 29:3, a man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth. Okay, instruction, Proverbs 22:24, do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man. So all of these references are negative. Fools, the idea here is fools shape a man just as wise men do. Okay? And John Knox translated this from the Vulgate. He said, fool he ends, that fool befriends. Fool he ends, that fool befriends. All right, so the stark choice of influencers, the wise or the fools? Those are your choices. Okay, are you a disciple of the wise, or are you a companion, a buddy, a BFF of fools, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're too old. And I'm probably behind the times, so. All right, so let's go to the next one. Okay, proverbial data on influence makers. So here's where we want to read these passages. They're sort of lengthy, and I'm looking for some key verses. And why are these key verses? So as we read, I'm gonna. Did I give you the verse number in your notes? Okay. All right. So when we get there, we'll talk about those verses, and then we want to answer the question, why are these key verses? All right. Beginning in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even a whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. And then down, I guess we're going to keep on, verses 20 to 33. Wisdom is warning. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused. I stretch out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm. When your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. So that's the chapter. Now let's just note some of these key verses. So number one, verse 8, the voice of father and mother. All right. So hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. So the voice of father and mother is a key verse. We'll come back to each one of these. I'm just going to give you the verses. So verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. All right. So the voice of sinners is another key. And then, verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. So, the admonished direction. Okay? And then, verse 31 to 32. So they call, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, the complacency of fools will destroy them. All right, and so on that one, the folly of one's own way. So why would you think of these four verses or four references as keys to our understanding of this passage?
Talking about their direction,
all right. Instructions, anything else?
Different sources of wisdom,
all right? We have two voices, right, Christy?
Different sources of influence,
yes. And Addie, is that what you're going to say? Yes, okay. And so this is the choice. And in Proverbs, we constantly see the choice. The voice of the father and the voice of the mother. That is akin to the voice of wisdom, right? One would expect your father and mother to be mature and responsible. Now, not all fathers and mothers are. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Proverbs is presenting an ideal. And if you don't, like if your own personal father or mother is not the wisest person, or maybe not even a Christian, then Christians need to connect themselves with older Christians who can help them. That's what a church is for. That's what a church is for. So that we can, it doesn't mean that we have to, okay, you're accountable to me. It means that, you know, you come and say, I've got a question. You know, there's a situation. How do I handle it? Now, none of us has a corner on wisdom. We should be able to sit down with other believers who can help us think things through. Sometimes we can gain great wisdom that way. On the other hand, we can just go down to the street corner and ask anybody, here's my situation, what do you think I should do? How do you think would be a wise course of in finding advice for your life? Okay, I've got a major life decision coming up. I'll go down there to the corner store and I'll ask whoever's sitting there what they think. It's sort of like a gamble, right? You might hit a wise person there. But what are your chances? All right, Lee.
Or you could just ask the internet.
You could just ask the internet. There you go. That's right. Yeah. And how many people do that? You know, I'm trying to make a decision. What should I do? I'll know what I'll do. I'll ask the internet. I'll ask AI. Okay?
Like Absalom and the Israelites.
Right, Absalom and the Israelites. Okay? And the thing is, or Rehoboam, here's another example. You know, he gets a counsel from his father's counselors. He says, okay. And he goes and talks to his friends. And they say, those guys don't know anything. Right. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's exactly the picture that we got here. Any other comments? I saw several hands. Cornelius.
Yeah, I think what you pointed, the important thing you pointed was Christians and, you know, younger, older. When you're 20, you don't know what it's like to be 50 or 30 or 40 or so
right.
on. But if you ask a 30-year-old or if you ask a 50-year-old what it's like at that point that the young person is, he can give them Christian counsel.
Yes.
And very important,
yes.
We've all gone, as you get older, we've all been through those stages.
That's right.
And we know the pitfalls that lie in wait.
That's right.
And we can advise.
Yes. Okay, so Debbie's saying, please repeat that so everybody can be sure they hear. All right, so if you haven't heard, so the 50-year-old, the 20-year-old, doesn't know what it's like to be 50 or 40 or 30, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that necessarily every person who's 50 is a wise counselor, but they do have some wisdom. And so you can, even if you have an unsaved parent, who obviously is older than you, they do have insight. Sometimes they know how to live. They've made it so far. So their advice is often on practical matters is valuable. Now spiritual matters may not so. Now, I'm going to turn this around a little bit for you. Let's say you have a young pastor. He's out of seminary, so he's probably 25, he's maybe or 27 or 30. Right now, can you go to a guy like that for counsel? Of course, a lot of people who are older are going to say, no, I can't go to that guy. He doesn't know anything. Well, there's a lot of things he doesn't know. That's true. And I look back to when I was a young pastor, and there were a lot of things I did not know. I think I'm wiser now than I was then. Okay? I hope I am. Okay, but here's the difference that should happen in every person's life. They fill their hearts and minds with the Bible. Okay, a young pastor or a young Christian fills his hearts and minds with the Bible. And you can have even a young person in the church who's not a pastor. He just loves God and he knows the Word of God. And so, though he's young in years, his sacrifice of time in knowing God has enabled him to have wisdom beyond his years in terms of spiritual counsel. So these are things, now in general, yes, older is wiser. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that the older person is wiser. And the key thing is that the person walks with God, has a deep walk with God, and knows where to go for answers. Okay. All right. So let's move on. I'm not sure if we'll finish today everything I wanted to say. So we may come back to some of this. So we want to talk now about wisdom. Where is wisdom in this discussion? Verses 20 to 23. And I'll just, where is she? Look at verse 20. Out in the open squares, or I put in the streets. Okay? What is the characteristic of her speech in this passage? What she said in chapter 1. Well, how is she speaking?
She's calling out to people. Everyone could hear.
Yeah, she's calling out to everyone, but what would characterize her speech? Is she making an appeal or is she doing something else?
Imitation.
Pardon me?
Imitation.
Imitations? Well, you aren't reading my mind, so this is my problem here. How do I ask this question to get the answer I want? Okay? So here's the deal. As you look here, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Now, is that... Okay, there's... Now, that's... Debbie says sarcastic. She's sort... How would you... How appealing is it to be told you're naive? You're simple-minded. Okay, so what we have here is rebuke and reproof. Now, in chapter 8, and in, I think, chapter 9, maybe, there are a couple... Wisdom is still personified through this section. And wisdom is making an appeal there. Making her case there. But here, she's rebuking foolishness. All right. So she is talking about she's rebuking their sin. And the first thing we must learn about our associations is that they are all complicated by our sin nature. Okay, so we are, you know, we don't make wise decisions because we are sinners. We want what we want, and we want it now. All right. Lee has his hand up.
Yeah, in 22, there's like three sort of different types or levels of sin, simple ones, or then the naive scorners,
and then the fools. That's right. Yeah, there's three different levels there, at least. Yes, Debbie, what were you going to say?
My question is about wisdom being in the streets. Like, it's sort of, I don't know, when I read that, I think, oh, it's out there everywhere.
I don't think that's the idea. No, it's not the idea that wisdom is out there, anybody can find it in that sense. But wisdom is out in the streets calling to the fools and saying, don't be foolish. You fools are foolish. Okay. So she's rebuking them. But I also wanted to note, wisdom is walking the streets alone. And so sometimes when you find wisdom, you are going to be alone. You are not going to be with the crowd. You're not going to be doing the thing that, let's put it this way. If you're going to be a Christian in our world, you are going to be the minority. Most people are not Christians. Okay, and so so are we going to be influenced by Christians and wise people who follow the Bible, or are we just going to be influenced by people who follow darkness? That's the question. Tola.
Sir, can the wisdom on the street be the pastors, the evangelists that preaches on the street?
Sure, yeah.
People can get wisdom from their world.
Yes.
And some get converted through that.
That's right. And there is the idea that wisdom is like an evangelist here. She's out witnessing, calling in the streets for the fools to receive wisdom. All right. So the next thing I want to talk about is, under the influence of evil men, is the entanglements, the consequences of bad associations. All right. So I don't have... We're going to have to turn to passages here, and we will, just watching the clock, we will, chapter 6 is the first one. And I don't know, I guess I have the references there for you. So let's read these first five verses, and then you can tell me what this is about. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. All right, so what is it, what's the subject here of this entanglement? Do you know what the words mean, Lee?
Is it like indebtedness? Or like
indebtedness in a certain way, though.
Surety.
What is surety?
You've spoken for someone.
Well, you stand for someone.
All right, so here's the deal. What is speaking for someone? It is suretyship. Okay, I'm going to put that up on the screen. Okay, you're entangled in the bad character of another. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Years ago, my dad had this friend. And this friend said, I want to buy this cabin up on at Seba or Lake Isle, and it's only so many dollars and it's not that much money, but he says, but the bank wants me to have a co-signer for the loan. What is co-signing? That's giving surety. Okay, so my dad had good credit, the other guy didn't. So guess what happened? My dad owned the cabin. That's what happened. Because the guy was unreliable. And we never used it. I remember my brother and I, we had the job of going up there a couple times to cut the grass. That's all we ever did there, was cut the grass at this cabin at the lake. And which was not my favorite afternoon's activity, I'll have to say. Okay. So, I think he sold it eventually. I don't know if he made any money on it, but that's surety. So you're co-signing for somebody else. You're guaranteeing their loan. So what the wisdom of Proverbs is saying, don't do that. People did that in the Old Testament times. They would say, look, so-and-so will back me, so if you'll give me this loan. And the other person, they would give some kind of guarantee. And then what happens? Well, you're entangled. So it says here, be sure, make sure of this guy. Give no sleep to your eyelids. Sleep to your eyes or slumber to your eyelids. He says, you be sure this guy is going to pay, or you're going to be in trouble. Okay? That's wisdom. Right? Lee is trying to make a comment.
That's just something, it's more of that. I've seen this, like, I'm not going to name any names, but anyways, but I've seen where, like, people have got themselves into these kind of relationships because they had the funds to, you know, say, purchase a home at such and such rate, but in order to go to the next level, they needed to.
Yeah.
The cosign, have someone rolled in, and that put them in a lot of stress.
Puts a lot of stress. And sometimes parents will do that for their children. That's a little bit different.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but you because you may end up owning that thing. Okay? All right, so Debbie.
So my question is it primarily or mostly business related?
Okay, the specific application of this proverb is business related. Okay, but there are other ways that you can you can vouch for somebody and they don't turn out to be a louse. So if you give your recommendation to somebody who's not a good worker, that's the same principle, isn't it? All right, Maureen?
So, I mean, I guess I would take from this is asking someone to evaluate, being wise and evaluating the character of who you're doing it for.
That's right.
But also, assuming if it goes wrong, I can afford to deal with the consequences.
That's right.
Because I have a happier story of a time that Dad did
this
for someone who needed to start up his business. And Dad was very confident in the person's character and knew that his income would allow him to do that. And it was not an issue.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. Doesn't mean never do it.
Yeah,
okay.
But being wise.
Being wise.
If I lose this money, I can afford it.
All right. So you'll have to tell me who that is. I don't know who that is. I don't remember that story. Okay. I just remember the one where I had to cut the grass. Okay. Yeah, that one really is like...
It's the grass one because you'd rather be hanging out at the corner store.
That's right. I'd rather be hanging out at the corner store. That's right. Exactly. All right. Okay. All right. Now, let's see here. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, Debbie?
Just a quick PS to that. Just since I know, I heard about the one you've done, and I know about that one.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about now.
The difference was, I think, the person that your dad went in with in the first case was not probably a believer, and the second one was?
Yeah, probably not. He may have, like, sort of, it's vague memories. That was a long time ago, so I've slept a lot since then.
Oh, okay.
I just remember having to cut that grass. I'm very bitter about it to this day. Like, it was, by the time we got out there, it was like a foot high. It was awful. Anyway, okay. Chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Okay, and we'll see how this goes. I'm just watching the clock. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is in the way of Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Now this is, actually, we should have, I should also give you, starts in verse 6. I at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw a young man naive, discern among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. He takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness. Behold, a woman comes to him, dressed as a harlot, blah, blah, blah. You see the story. So this is the strange woman. So down here at the end, now therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention. Do not let your heart turn aside. So what is this entanglement.
The strange woman,
that's right. So it's the strange woman entangled by the deceit of the short-term view. Okay? So he's obviously talking here, the specific application is about immorality, right? And it is, people get themselves into situations where they have compromised their lives by an association, an immoral association like this. And people, oh, it doesn't cost anything. Oh, you know, let's just have some fun. Oh, let's party. Okay? And there's, but afterwards, there are entanglements. There's deceit involved. There's, sometimes it can cost very, very big, these kind of relationships. Alright, so in my notes I put many applications. It's more than merely immoral relations. We have lusts for many unwise things. And so there are things that we just have to have. And it's not the same moral level as the strange woman, but it's the same kind of temptation. And those kind of entanglements, or maybe there are friends like that. They're not good friends, but you are so close and so tight with them that they will deceive you and take you down the wrong path. All right, Colin wants to add something.
Yeah, just thinking about that, like there's such an allure to foolishness in our world today. We celebrate it. Our culture celebrates foolishness
right
daily, and so part of, you know, a Christian can get sucked into that, like, false sense of glamour.
Right. Okay. So he's saying in our society, we celebrate foolishness, and a Christian can get sucked into, an unwise Christian can sucked into that sense of glamour that our society promotes and so forth. Christy.
I would also point out that she's dressed in the attire of a harlot.
So right.
It's also talking about the absence of modesty.
And yes.
The first thing that is noticed, right? Like,
yes.
How to stay away from it. The billboards, everything around.
Right, yes.
There's a difference.
Yes, yes. So there are a lot of things when we're talking specifically about immorality, in our society it is a big thing in our media. So it doesn't even have to be, an X-rated movie, say, or something of that nature. Even in the billboards, the advertisements, going on the internet, these ads that pop up that they're in the sidebar. They're not what you're there at the site for, but they're there. And they're trying to entice you. Okay, so what happens when you get entangled by that enticement? The internet is a very powerful thing. People start getting bombarded with emails and suggestions and enticements and so forth. And viruses for their computer. Okay. That's sort of, an extra side benefit. Okay. And so there's a lot of things. A wise person just simply doesn't, they just don't go there. All right. Cornelius.
Paul, flee.
Flee. Yeah. Flee youthful lust. All right. Anybody else have a comment on this one? Okay, so I'm thinking that we'll stop here at this point because I have more things to go, and then I have a little bit. I was going to sort of go off on talking about wisdom at the end, but I think we'll stop here, and I'll make a mark in my file. Somehow there's a way to do this, and we'll pick up here next week. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've spent looking at wise associations and walking with the wise. Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom in our own associations. Help us not to be entangled with evil. Help us to walk in the company of the wise. In Jesus' name, amen.